Well, if you're not on your way up to high, cool mountain country, which I can't blame you, and you're working with a little, maybe dehydrated plants, perfect opportunity to reach us at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you are on your way to the high country, don't forget to take Rosie on the house with you as you're heading up I-17 or the B-line. You can usually catch us on KAZM out of Sedona, the 5,000-watt AM torch coming out of there. We get people from Payson and all the way over to the other side, Ashford, pick us up there. If you're heading into the Prescott, you can turn on over 1130 AM and 99.9 FM. Catch us on KQNA, Talk of the Quad Cities. Or if you're going all the way north to Flagstaff and beyond, don't forget Calf Country, 930 AM and 93.5 FM. If you're heading to the high country but heading south to do it, Tucson, KNST, or KGVY in Green Valley. No matter where in the great state of Arizona, we've got you covered. Let's bring in Marilyn, who's called in with her question for John J. Harper. Good morning, ma'am. Welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Yes, ma'am.
I have two mature pine trees on the east side of a home just north of the Encanto area. I think it's called North Central Park. And I can't keep the feral cats out from under my mature pine trees.
Nice shade. I think
it's beautiful. It definitely helps that room. The trees are wonderful. The grass in front of them, I can fairly well water. I work full time, so I don't have a landscaper. It's my landscaping. When I rake under those trees, I'm raking up litter box. And I don't know what to naturally put under there to keep these feral cats out of there.
Oh, boy.
How about a contact cat stop? Have you seen that?
There's dog and cat repellents that are natural based products. They generally are made with different types of clove oils or wintergreen type oils, those types of things. The problem with any of those is they're all kind of odor driven. And if it's in a lawn, you're watering, and that won't last very long. You'll have to continually repeat that. Have you gone to the county and addressed the issue with the feral cats and trapping them and maybe having somebody help you remove them?
Right, yeah, the neighborhood has worked on that. There's not nearly as many as there used to be.
Okay.
But there's still enough that I'm having to take a bucket to the area at least every 3 weeks and scooping.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. They seem to know that corner of my house.
Yeah, I don't have any great solutions for you other than trying some of the odor-based repellents and continuing to try and maybe, you know, live trap and remove, relocate the cats.
Now, that will be the best solution, completely removing them. But then go to Contech, CONTECH.inc, Contech.inc. There's a product called Cat Stop. It's an ultrasonic cat deterrent. Something in all their products there that they work with are humane. So it'll just push them into your neighbor's yard, and it'll aggravate your neighbor. And so maybe buy two or three for the neighborhood and just push them out. But it'll cover 300 square feet. It's about $60.
Tell Peanut to pick Marilyn back up. Can we order that for her? She can be our shopper.
Okay.
A secret shopper. We'll do a product test on that and see if it works.
Sounds good. It's the same people that have the scarecrow. That's the, you hook it up to your hose and it's on a motion sensor.
Well, the thing is, if you move those cats into about three other people's houses and they all have problems with them, then maybe they'll get something done.
let's see if she has this so consistently. It's going to be an easy place to test it. I'll tell you, I've tried those ultrasonic bury in the ground things for gophers. I think they just work around them. I have never noticed those to do any good.
Yeah. They used to have the insect ones and different ones, and they've all kind of gone away. I just think it's a limited, but it'd be good to know.
All right. Let's put it to the test and get Marilyn one of those and see if it works.
Sounds great. Pete's back online with his pine tree. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the program. How may we help you?
I mow lawns in the area around 7th Ave and McDowell. I used to be able to buy small pine trees for some of my customers at Home Depot and Lowe's. And the past few years, Home Depot and Lowe's have stopped selling pine trees. And I'm wondering if it's because like they mentioned earlier in the show, Phoenix has gotten hotter and drier. The dry spells are getting longer. The climate has changed in Phoenix. I mean, I can't find any pine trees. I don't buy at nurseries because I'm a low-budget lawn service. But I think it's the same thing with the silk oaks. It's a water issue. And that's why they don't sell silk oaks anymore. Am I right or wrong?
Silk oaks, they don't sell anymore because people quit buying them. I mean, that was just pure and simple supply and demand. Yep. When we landscaped with lawns and, you know, you had a tree like a silk oak that shed pretty heavily and you could mow the lawn.
When we moved into the house y'all's house had like 30 plus pine trees.
Palm trees.
Yes. I'm sorry. Palm trees. And they're messy and they were nasty and they were horrible in the pool. But the first thing that went out was that silk oak. That was the first thing Dad cut out.
I don't know a tree that litters more than a silk oak.
It's probably as bad as there is. But
it's on the high end, huh?
You know, if you had a lawn and you mowed the lawn, it wasn't such an issue. But as lawns have gone away, it's changed our tree palette.
Yeah.
If you have a gravel or a granite landscape and you got a tree that sheds a lot, well, then that is a bigger issue. Australian bottle trees kind of went through the same scenario. Those were kind of our two trees. Pines, same deal. If you've got a pine tree in a lawn area and you're mowing up pine needles or raking them out, no big deal. If it's in gravel, granite, lots have gotten smaller.
Yeah.
It's supply and demand, but it's also fueled by the way that we landscape. Now, there are nurseries that still sell pine trees because there's still some uses in commercial and different areas. So you can find pine trees, but not probably little ones like we used to sell as little living Christmas trees at Christmas time.
Hey, I think he just needs to do what the rest of the community has, just change his tree palette, quit buying pine trees, and find something else that works a little bit better.
Yep, there are lots of other great trees, nothing that maybe looks quite like a pine.
Now, let me throw a heads up while we're on trees and shade trees on that right now, because if you are a SRP customer, you can SRP is giving away free shade trees. Go to savewithsrp.com and figure out that program. They're giving the museum, Palo Verde, a mesquite. Do you know the other? There's two other varieties, but I don't know what they are. But they're indigenous.
I think they're all kind of low water, desert type trees.
Absolutely.
And they are small.
And they are small.
Don't think you're going to have shade in a year or two.
No, but SRP is giving them away to SRP customers. So heads up for that.
You'd probably need a water bill or an electric bill, just proof of that you're an SRP customer, I would assume.
That's it. It's all on the
savewithsrp.com.
There you go.
Scoot West from our last caller. Move out to Levine. Bring Tim into the program. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I have a bonita ash tree. Actually, I have a couple of them in my yard. And my sprinkler clock kind of went haywire and it flooded the yard, and it's done that two or three times. And now the one ash tree where the water was puddling has lost all its leaves and it's just sticks. But it sounds like it got too much water, obviously.
Well, if it was doing that for a long time, it's pretty hard to overwater an ash tree, but it is possible. And if you had a malfunction and it was staying just completely wet for a long enough period, sure.
Put enough water in there to where it would stay for a day or so. You know.
How often?
It's probably happened about four times. Finally, I replaced the clock, but I'm hoping the tree would come back, but it just doesn't seem to be coming back.
Well, the issue now is that it doesn't have any leaves on it, and it's hot, and you've got a lot of sunshine, and the bark has the potential to sunburn. First thing I do is check, you know, do the old scratch test like we talked about last winter when we had the freezes. Actually scratch the bark, make sure there is green tissue underneath the outside layer of tissue on the tree. If it is green underneath, then get some tree paint and get the main trunk at least and the main branches painted so they don't sunburn, and then hope that it starts growing leaves right away to start helping to shade the ends of those branches. Usually what starts happening is then the ends start dehydrating and burning back and dying back, and you clip back, and then that just keeps going and going and going and going. So yeah, it's going to be pretty tough this time of year if it hasn't leafed out. it's the first thing to do is probably just get it protected from sunburn, at least the main trunk and the main branches.
And because they will lose their leaves in the winter, it possibly, I mean, could it be all the way until next summer or springtime?
If it doesn't do it by then, it's dead.
Okay.
Yeah, it won't make it. It's got to get leaves on that now in order for it to build up enough energy to allow it to go dormant next winter. If it goes a whole season with ice, just, you know,
it's done.
It's done. Yep.
So if by the end of the summer nothing's flowered out, visit your local nursery plant store. Elgin is out there in your neck of the woods, and I'm pretty sure they would have something for you. Let's bring George into the conversation and talk to him about his cucumber. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, I got this cucumber vine. It was a volunteer. And every day the leaves wilt when the sun goes down and the leaves come back. Okay. Is it going to survive the summer?
Sure. You know, that's very normal or natural for vegetable plants to have a little what we call false wilt or wilt during the heat of the day. They perk back up at night. That's usually one thing we tell people is, you know, don't make your watering decisions based on what your plants look like at noon or 1 o'clock, especially big leafy things like cucumbers and squash and even tomatoes. Check your plants in the cool of the day. And I like to check them in the morning. If they look a little wilty early in the morning when it's cool, they're not going to make it through the day. You better water them. Or in the evening when the sun has gone down, if they don't perk right back up, then in fact they are dry. But again, a great candidate, we talked about mulching earlier. Get some bark mulch, shredded bark, something on that soil. That's one thing that mulches will do, is cut down on that midday heat wilt on plants, because the soil will stay more evenly moist through the day and for several days than having those huge spikes and wet and dry and wet and dry and causing the plants to wilt.
We're in the garden. If you'd like us to come to your backyard, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.